So slide 13 is about the changed nature, or potentially changed nature, of the teacher-student relationship, which Web 2 may enable. Vic, I know that you've been involved not long ago in a meta-analysis of group-based learning in higher education contexts. Maybe that would be a good place to start?
Yeah, okay. Thanks for that. Yeah, I'll take it from there. Well, I think the not to go into the details of our meta-analysis, we looked at a fairly large-ish number of papers, over 30 papers. All these were focused on higher education. They were all focused on online programs that were asynchronous and were using the learning environment as more than just a means of transmitting information. They were creating discussion fora and attempting to build learning communities. We looked at these, tried to distill some of the key findings. Well, one of them was that it seemed that these environments and this kind of design, getting people working together collaboratively online, it was changing the nature of the student-teacher relationship. There was evidence that this was having to be renegotiated in order to adapt and make use of the new environment. One of the problems was that the expectations that the folks involved had of a teaching and learning space in some cases made that difficult. I mean, for example, the role of the teacher has embedded in it not only ideas but a practice of control, of controlling the situation. And clearly, in a place where students can communicate with one another and discuss when the teacher's not around, that challenges the whole notion of control. So underneath all of that is something about sharing power, and Web 2 can bring that right to the fore, the issue of how power is shared between students and students, between students and the teacher. One of the upshots of that, of course, is that if you're going to face that, if you're going to face that issue that arises, you have to start to think about how the role of the learner might function, what the new role of the teacher might be. That has to be planned. So to sum up, I'd say one of the effects of Web 2, as revealed in this meta-analysis, was that the rules of engagement between students and teachers, tutors, needs to be renegotiated, redevised, replanned.
I heard a very convincing argument just last night. Courtney Kasdan from Harvard,
okay,
gave a talk down in London, and she spent her whole life thinking about collaborative learning and discourse within classrooms and so on. But she caused me pause for thought when she was pointing out that a tremendous amount of deep learning, particularly she was thinking about learning in subjects like mathematics and science, but I don't think that they are particularly special, that an awful lot of deep learning actually involves the individual fighting with his or herself for understanding. And I do think that we do have to be careful to avoid jumping on the bandwagon that says discussion and collaboration are the best way to learn in all circumstances, and Web 2 is going to facilitate that, therefore learning itself is going to be facilitated, don't you think?
I absolutely agree with you. I mean, I think one of the things about Web 2 is that it foregrounds social interaction. It foregrounds the possibility of collaboration. And so we're in a situation where if we're not careful, we can go from one extreme to the other. We can go from a situation where we are disregarding many of the learning opportunities that arise from collaboration and swing to the other extreme of thinking, well, collaboration's, you know, is the answer. But I think
anybody who's ever seen people working collaboratively knows that collaboration is sometimes productive for learning and sometimes it isn't. The question is, under what circumstances is learning facilitated and how can Web 2 help us do that, don't you think?
I absolutely agree. I mean, I think the issue of structure and design really, I mean, that's what your point prompts in my mind, because a group interaction can be as negative as gang violence, for example. That's a group interaction. But yes. And there's lots. I mean, if you were to analyse that on the levels we've been talking about, cognitively, emotionally, and socially, there's a great deal of interesting stuff going on there. But the upshot is it's what most of us would regard as an unethical, an unacceptable form of group activity. But it occurs spontaneously, doesn't it? So, yes. You know, there's no reason to think that because people are together in a situation where they want to be together, that it's going to be productive.
That's right. Actually, one thing that I think I'm looking for the specific contribution that we might expect from the technology here.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things, I know your InterLife project's only been going a few days, really, but I think that in general, where computer science meets education in a particularly productive context is that trying to build a system forces a clarity and a precision about, in this case, collaboration, that is quite often lacking. So whereas you and I can have a friendly chat about collaboration being sometimes a good thing and sometimes a bad thing, which is not a terribly deep insight, if we were actually building a computational system to encourage certain kinds of collaborative interaction, you have to be much more precise because the computer is not going to be as forgiving as you and I are.
I think that's absolutely right. I mean, if you plan something from the perspective of you're the teacher and you're working with a bunch of learners and you treat them as a bunch of learners, then in a face-to-face situation, then that's one level of planning. As soon as you start to think about planning for collaboration within the group in an environment that's supported by technology, there's a degree of complexity and precision there that's not, as you say, it's not trivial.
Okay, I think that's a good place.